And if you're not gathering together with believers, you're the one that is missing out. Because he's in the midst of us, right? You receive that? Praise God. Well, before I start the message, I've been sharing over the last, we're in our third month now of every week, another reason why we can be sure that it is God's will for everyone. Why it is God's will for everyone to be healed. You know, religion will teach you that, well, God might be teaching you something through that. No, God gave you the Holy Spirit to teach you. He doesn't teach you through sickness or poverty or all that stuff is under the curse. And he doesn't require anybody to be under the very thing that he redeemed him from. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse. Amen. So what's left? The blessing. Part of the blessing is healing. So we can be sure. This is reason 14. I skipped a couple because it requires a little more explanation. But Jesus said this. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. That's what Jesus called it. Healing is the children's bread. Is something you eat, right? So when you eat something, it becomes part of you. Healing belongs to you. Amen. Give us this day our what?
Daily bread.
Boy, you know that one. But then when it comes to sickness, you say, ho! Big pharma. Big pharma. That's the first place most people turn. And big pharma will keep you medicated, dependent, and never really healed. Why would they? I mean, come on, they got a bird's nest on the ground as it is. Why would they want to heal you? They'd put themselves out of business. But you know what? Jesus can put them out of business if you just cooperate with him. Healing is the children's bread. Write this down, Matthew 15:26. The Syrophoenician woman came to him and said, my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. And in the Gospels we see, and in the New Testament, we see that demonic oppression, demonic vexation usually ends up in sickness. Worry, fear grinds you into sickness. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That's what the Jews called Gentiles. Jesus called her a dog.
She said
arf. Arf. She said, yeah, but even the dogs have to eat from the master's table. He said, oh, woman, great is your faith. She did not even have a covenant with God. She was not a Jew. She was a Canaanite woman. But what did faith do? Faith took all that right out of the way and connected with God. Faith connects and supersedes everything. If it is, you can't argue with the Bible. You can, but it won't work. Bread is something that belongs to us. We all need it. Now, why is this important? Why is it important to know the will of God concerning healing? Well, because faith begins where the will of God is known, and we all need healing, right? We all need, it's a constant maintenance in our body, healing, healing, healing. We need it. Pride will say, no, I don't need that. Why would I ask God for healing? You know how the religious people do? They say, God. They pronounce God. You know, no, he's your father. He may be God to the world, but he's father to me. Jesus may be the to the world, but he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my brother. He's my mother, father, sister, and brother. He's everything. Amen. So, are you healed?
Amen.
Let's that was pretty weak. Are you healed?
Yes.
Okay. Start talking like it. And you will be. So that's reason number 14 of why we can be sure it's God's will for us to be healed of everything all the time. Amen. Now, if that's not a reality in your thinking, in your mind, I want you to know it can be. You can renew your mind with the Word of God, and it will transform you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, you ready to get into this today, into our message? This is our series, Wisdom and Light for such a time as this. You know, no matter what time it is, ever since Jesus rose from the dead, there have been times that have been difficult times, good times, difficult times, whatever time it is. Things cannot be so good that you don't need his wisdom. Things cannot be so good that you don't need his light. And that wisdom and that light in the good times can sustain you through the bad times. Amen? So you're not up and down and up and, you know, the toothbrush commercial, up and down and up and down, years ago. Perhaps you were born too late. Yeah, it could have been. But a lot of Christians are like that. They go up and down and up and down. And when they're riding on the crest of the wave, they say, oh, this, and they're trying to tell everybody. But then when they go in the valley, they go, oh, yeah. Then they're going to everybody saying, pray for me, pray for me. No, no. Stay consistent. I think we'll do that sometime. We'll talk about fruit sacks sometime. Submission, accountability, consistency, commitment, and stewardship. It's powerful stuff. We'll do that. We'll get into that. Anybody lead anybody to Jesus this week? Anybody talk to somebody about Jesus this week? Praise God. Well, let's do it. Let's close the deal. Let's bring them in. Let's bring them in. Bring them into the kingdom. That's what it's all about. This is why, this is the only reason why we're here. Otherwise, when you would have been born again, you'd have been out of here. But he leaves us here with the light inside us to give to this world. Never underestimate. You need to lead people to Jesus. Never underestimate the power of truth, especially now. I mean, truth sticks out like a sore thumb, and it is so full of logic and sense to people who are confused. Never underestimate the power of a seed, the seeds of life. And never underestimate the work that has been done in you, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the new birth. You are a new creation. You don't belong to this world anymore. You don't have to answer to this world anymore. Amen. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen. And you have been equipped and endued with power from on high with the Holy Spirit. Amen. To lead somebody to Christ. And if they don't come to Christ, you planted a seed. That will grow up in them, and that will become something in them that until they finally just say, okay. Yeah, throw in the towel. That's good, Lynn. Praise God. And it's a soggy, wet towel anyways. It doesn't belong. It hampers you. So in our series here, wisdom and light for such a time as this, you know, whatever time it is, day, night, in the middle of an argument, in the middle of whatever, you need his wisdom. You need to turn to him for... The Bible says that he is made unto us wisdom. And righteousness. And sanctification. And redemption. If you feel condemned, just say, Jesus, I'm yours! You know, the devil doesn't want to be around that stuff when you start launching light bolts around him. He doesn't want to be... It's like... What? If you walked into a room and there was a 3-year-old with a loaded gun, would you stay there?
No.
Well, the devil doesn't want to be around you when you're shouting out the word of God either. Wisdom and light for such a time as this. Let's get right into our weekly confession here. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Praise God. The word speaks. Do you know something? Sometimes at night you get a little remembrance of something somebody said, whatever, and it's something about the word. See, that's the word. That's God speaking to you. God doesn't speak most of the time. He does not speak with audible words. He speaks through impressions, intuitions. He speaks, you know, the world says, well, that's not real, that's fantasy. No, no. God is a spirit. And he speaks to us by spiritual means. Sometimes it'll be a sudden realization. Sometimes it'll be an impression. Sometimes it's an intuition, something that you know is going to happen. Pay attention to those, because that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll be coming back to this throughout the message here. But Matthew 24 and verse 3. Don't you love the scriptures?
Amen.
Thank God for light. Thank God for truth. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, this is speaking about Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us what these things mean. He just read the riot act in the chapter before this to the scribes and Pharisees. He pronounced the seven woes upon the Pharisees, and he was talking about the end times and everything. So the disciples said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming in the end of the world? And look, Jesus answered them and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. What is the very first thing, one of the very first signs of the end times and the return of Jesus and the rapture of the church and everything, the end of the church age? What is the main thing? What is the first signal that we have? Deception. Let no man deceive you. Then he said, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Notice he doesn't say, I am the Christ. He says, I am Christ. I am anointed. I'm an anointed one. If you're anointed, you don't have to tell people about it. They'll just know it. Now, Jesus could do that. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he had to declare that. He was anointed, and he preached that anointing. And if they believed in that anointing, they'd get healed. They'd get their needs met. Everything would happen according to their faith if they believed in that anointing. Take heed that no man deceive, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. How about that, Ukraine? See to it that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So the first issue Jesus is dealing with concerning the end times is deception. That is the prevailing trend of the times just before Jesus comes. Deception, deception, deception. And he said this, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. What does that mean? Be in the present moment. Watch. Measure everything according to the word. Let things filter through the word concerning you. Be in the present moment. This means to manage your mind with the truth. That's what that means. Take heed that no man deceive you. This is something Jesus is telling us to do. You know, one of the greatest things you can do, one of the greatest things you can do for your family and for your kids is to pray for them that they won't be deceived. One of the greatest things you can teach your family to do, your kids especially to do, is to pray that they won't be deceived. Father, reveal your truth to them. Let your truth be the first and foremost thing in their thought life, guiding them. You said your spirit will guide them into all truth. And I declare that that promise is real concerning them. I cover my kids and I'm teaching them to rely on your Holy Spirit to tell them the truth. You know, the Holy Spirit will never work opposite or apart from the Word of God. He's the Spirit of truth. He doesn't deal in shades of the truth. He is the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, look at what we got, the deception that's going on, fake news. And it's not what all they say, and those are full of lies, but what they don't say. When the narrative doesn't fit their narrative, they don't say anything about it. You know, these things, these hearings with the IRS whistleblowers, you know, when they were blowing the whistle against Trump, they were all over it. But now they don't even touch it because it's coming against their God, which is not the person. It's a political mindset that they have received to be above everything. Let me just say it now. I mean, this is obvious to the rest of the world, if not us, but it is obvious that this is the Biden crime family. I'm sorry to have to say that, but it is. They have been totally exposed by the IRS, by the FBI. All the investigations point to the fact that our president is totally compromised and totally sold out. And why do you think that we are so... He doesn't care about our borders, but yet he is funding Ukraine and their borders more than ours. And the citizens of this country who, I'm not saying they did, but... You know, I mean, if it isn't obvious, this is a charade. Yes. Come on. So we've got fake news. We've got big pharma. We've got false narratives that are being generated. And, you know, Jesus put it this way in one place. He said, the deception will be so intense and so thick. We've got AI coming out, which is, what does that stand for? It's artificial information, intelligence. Now think about that for 5 minutes. Artificial intelligence? Artificial intelligence. What do they call that? Oxymoron. It's a dichotomy. It just is, it doesn't make sense, but yet it's accepted as a standard. The deception will be so thick at these times coming up where they can get a computer to do anything they want. To launch any kind of truth that they hold as truth, to any kind of lie and deception, they can launch it and it will permeate the entire population of the world. And it will become so intense that even the elect, it says, if possible, would be deceived. Pray that you'd be not deceived. I've seen good Christians, used to work with Lori and I in ministry. Good Christians, just turn away. Just turn away from God. These were sincere, heart-filled, Holy Spirit-filled people that just gave up, just threw it away. Deception. It's real. Like it or not, we are responsible for whether we're deceived or not. God cannot live our lives for us. There's another religious cow we're going to kick over here. We'll just shoot her right in the head. But a religious sacred cow. He said, well, if God wants me to do it, he'll make me do it. No, he won't. God doesn't make. The devil drives. God leads. Remember John chapter 10? I know the voice of the good shepherd. I hear his voice. He leads me. And I follow him. He doesn't drive. He doesn't impel. He doesn't compel people to do. No, he leads. And the choice is yours. The devil is the one who drives. The devil is the one who compels people to do this and does that. He is the driver. He's the manipulator. He's the one who puts the pressure on you. Say, if you don't act now, Wall Street, whatever that is, Madison Avenue, Wall Street, they say, if you don't act now, it may be gone. You know, God doesn't lead you that way. God leads you into green pastures that never fall away, that are never used up, and by still water that is fed by springs and never dries up. Don't be deceived. This is protection from deception. How do people get deceived? What's the primary way that people get deceived? Well, let's go back. Who was the first being in all creation that was deceived?
Lucifer,
that's right. Eve's pretty close, though. Lucifer, how did that happen? I will. God said, no, you won't. Pride. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 3. What does it say? The pride of your heart has deceived you. Pride is a deceiver. Pride is a deceiver. And you know what? The devil doesn't have to work hard to deceive a lot of people, because if they're filled with pride, they'll just deceive themselves. Gospel of John says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all have the propensity, we all have the potential to satisfy our flesh, to sin against God. So that's why he puts something in place. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was a word that the Lord had for us earlier here too. All unrighteousness. Take heed that no man deceive you. See, deception comes from people. You know, this is how the devil acts. He just doesn't have too much imagination. He does the same thing over. He did it 6,000 years ago in the garden. He said to Eve, look at the tree. The very thing that God pointed out, look. And she saw that the tree was good for food. What's that? Lust of the flesh. And it was pleasing to the eyes. What's that? The lust of the eyes. And it was desired to make one wise. What's that? Pride of life. Man, that's a three-headed monster. And it's been working ever since. He's been milking it for everything it's worth ever since man fell. And then it says she ate it and gave it to her husband who was standing there. He was standing there the whole time. Don't blame Eve on this. He was given authority and dominion in the earth. He should have said, serpent, out of here. Get out. Get out. Angels, escort him to hell, please. Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't make that yet. Well, he just made it for you. He said, just get out of here. And the angels would have done it, and they would have brought him right out of there. And things would have continued on just as they were. But he didn't do it. It was his job to subdue the earth. It was his job to manage it. It was his job to subdue, bring it into subjection. But he didn't do it. It's our job to bring our minds into subjection. It's our job to keep ourselves free from deception and to keep meditating on the truth. Meditate on the truth. Meditate on the truth. But my point is here, God needs your cooperation. You remember Flip Wilson? Yeah. Geraldine? Yeah.
No, the devil made me do it.
And it was funny because he was great. He was a good comedian. But he was saying that because he knew that everybody knew that the devil can't make you do anything anyhow. Even the sinners know that. Even somebody without the knowledge of God knows that God, the devil can't make them do anything. They have to cooperate with the devil. I'm running out of time, and this is my introduction. Hope you're comfortable. Oh, praise God. But as far as we're concerned, know this. The devil will send people to deceive you. He will send people to say, I'm anointed. He'll send people to say, you know, I'm a prophet. Ooh, we've just been through a whole series of those. Now I'm going to step on some sensitive ground here for those of you who hold these prophets that have arisen through the internet, through social media and other platforms recently when they predicted Trump would win the election, da, 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 da. And this, well, he didn't. Well, he did, but he didn't. Well, why didn't you say so if you're of God? If you're declaring yourself to be a prophet of God, then say what's right. And if that's, you know, they're trying to make a name for himself. I predicted. I did. We had a whole family leave our church one time because they listened to some prophet saying, 501c3s are of the devil. And he predicted Trump's win in 16, so they all listened to him. And since we are a 501c3, every church is, really. Maybe three or four aren't. But that was their decision. We are. And you know what? The Apostle Paul referred to his citizenship as a Roman more than once, more than twice in his life. So it's no problem to use the provisions that the government gives you for a tax relief for your people. Amen? In fact, that's smart. But don't let them use that and hold it over your head and say you can't say this and you can't say that. I'm going to say whatever I want to. We already got thrown off of YouTube. Oh, shucks. No, that's a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor. But here's the thing. I'm talking about people get this Christ complex, this hero complex, and they're in a church, and the church is going the wrong way, and they see good Christian people, good people, leaving the church in droves, but they stay because they think that they can help people, that the church is hurt or wounded or abused, their volunteership or whatever. But They want to stay in that. You say, well, I can teach them right. I can do. No, you're not responsible for them. That pastor is. I am responsible for you. I'm going to answer to the Lord with a good conscience, knowing that I have delivered the truth as I see it and as I know it, as it was revealed to me in the Bible. But that's not your job. You may be filled with the Holy Spirit now, and you may be sitting in a church that is not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, no, I'll go teach those people the truth about the Holy Spirit. No, that's rebellion, because you are operating against the leadership in that, and you might be exposed as a total con artist by that ministry, and you'd be defamed. That's not your job. That's the pastor's job. And whether he gets it right or gets, none of us get it all right. None of us do. But instead of undermining that pastor, you need to go get away from that and stop receiving that seed, because eventually if you start receiving that seed, it's still seed and it's still going to grow up and become. And you may be finding yourself in an emotional situation where you start agreeing with it. Get out of that situation. If God has changed you, brought you into something that they don't believe in, then leave and tell them why. And go to some place where you can get into agreement with believers, the word of faith, and the things of God.
Amen.
Amen. And then you will be able to pray effectively. First for that pastor to come into line with the word of God, or to stop abusing his people, or to stop the... You may be in the soup if you do anything else, but get to other believers who believe the way you do so that you can operate effectively in prayer with a good conscience, knowing that you have honored God first and his order of things. Amen? If that doesn't make sense, please leave. No, I'm kidding. No, really, because look, things are happening now. And if you don't deal with these things now, and these things that were wrong that so-called prophets were saying, well, why didn't they say it in the first place? You need to put your oxygen mask on first. That's what I'm saying. Before you start helping everybody else. He said, many false prophets. That's a wide scope. Many shall rise up saying, I am anointed. I am Christ. And they shall deceive many. Deceive many. Deception is here. If they were so right about the election, where were they when the COVID was going to come? Where were they prophesying? Why didn't they prophesy that? Don't you think that mattered to God? With hundreds of thousands of people dying? Wouldn't that be something that God would warn his prophets about if they were truly his prophets? Look what happened when Joseph was brought before Pharaoh saying, tell me, you know, here's the dream, tell me what it said. And he told him, he says, okay, you're the manager. You're going to manage this whole thing. If the prophets really did that, don't you think God would be glorified in that and that they would be raised up to a position of authority where they would know how to deal with it according to God's power and not lies and deceptions from masks and mandates and jabs that were totally not what they built them up to be? Does this make sense to anybody but me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at this thing in a panorama view, and I'm saying, look, this is no accident that these things happen. These alarms are being set off inside of me saying, look, it is, get your nose in that book and start reading it, start digesting it, start meditating on it, and let your mind be transformed so that when the counterfeit comes, you'll recognize it and run.
Yeah.
Just like Joseph did from Potiphar's wife. Run! Just get out of there. I'm telling you something. You start listening a little bit. It's a little compromise here, a little more compromise here, and the door gets wedged open. Boom. And you're deceived. Deception of the very elect is, that's the devil's target. Church has been asleep. The church has been asleep for 50, 60, 80 years where they say, no, Christians shouldn't vote. Are you kidding me? So you're gonna let the devil's kids elect your leaders. I mean, you've got to have demonic help to be that stupid. Was that too blunt? Okay, good. Let's go to Matthew 24. Verse 24 is something else I want to cover here. It says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Look at this. Signs and wonders. They're coming too from false prophets. You know, I was listening to Andrew Womack this week, and he made an analogy to something that was really amazing. Never heard of this before. But when he was in high school, their science teacher did an experiment. And they put this empty gas can on top of a Bunsen burner, the propane, you know, how they work, and heated it up. And then he took a cap and put it on top and screwed it on tight, took it off the burner, put the thing on. Now the air inside was hot. And as it cooled, it created a vacuum. Just a change in temperature, and that gas can, metal, started crunching, crunching, crunching like one of those water bottles. It started to implode. This is air bending metal. These are the type of things that illusionists and magicians use. They use light, they use pressure and things like that, air temperatures and so forth, to do these so-called magic tricks. And they're not tricks, they're just basically science. What they're gonna do with this AI is pretty astounding. And the signs and wonders that will be happening. You know, it says that the false prophet will give life to the beast. Is it the false prophet or the Antichrist is gonna give life to the beast? And there's, over in Belgium, over in Brussels, Belgium, there's a building and it's got, it's just a loaded big high-speed computers and everything, and they call it the Beast. Did you know that? That's been since the 70s they've had this thing. And it's been gaining and gaining and gaining and gaining and gaining. I'm telling you, we've got to bury our nose in the truth. We've got to bury ourselves in the Word of God. Because there's no other truth that will defeat the lies. Does that make sense? That gas can, that's pretty amazing. But that's only an example. Too many pastors, here's another deception. They started out really good. They started out with a right heart. Did you know that Jim Jones started out as a legitimate Pentecostal preacher? Preached the gospel. Got deceived. What happens is a lot of these guys learned how to turn the gospel into their own personal profit center, and they used it to launch their own celebrity, their own name, and their own personal fortunes. And what happens is they've got their reward. they've got their rewards. But Jesus said this, and I'm not saying that's bad. In and of itself. No, God rewards you openly for things that... But I'm saying this. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. And when you see people that are wounded, when they see they abuse their people, when they see that they pay their people like half of what the world's getting. You know, Joyce Meyer, she pays her people double whatever they were making in the world. Why? Because they're worthy of double honor if they're working for the gospel. So I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, look, if you build something like that, you're dependent on more people and more people and more people all the time just to pay your bills, and you'll compromise the gospel, you'll turn it into another message just to attract people, and it's not gonna work. God is as far away from that as that empty gas can. You may be straight as a gun barrel, but you're twice as empty. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. This is a key here in being free from deception. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He is the Spirit of truth, not shades, but pure truth. He doesn't deal in shadows. He doesn't deal in degrees of truth. He gives you the whole truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Proverbs 8. Start in verse 1, it says, does not wisdom cry out? We need wisdom in these times. And understanding lift up her voice. She takes her stand. Look at this. She takes her stand on top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. What does that mean? That means, this is, the way is the road. So where the roads cross, the intersections of life, that Holy Spirit has an aerial view so that it can tell you what's over the horizon. If you make this decision, this is going to happen. If you make this decision, this is my blessing. This is the way to go. They can see over the horizon of tomorrow and the next day and 5 years and 15 years and 25 years from now. You know, God knew what I would need 39 years after I was married. And he hooked me up with the right one. Oh, boy, I missed very, very right. gift of God. Look, God knows what your needs before. So he stands in a high place above those intersections, those times of decision and places of decision where you need to make a decision. Wisdom. He is the Spirit of wisdom. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Listen to the Holy Spirit, those impressions, those intuitions that he gives you. Takes her stand on the top of the hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates. Oh, what gates?
At the entry of
At the entry of the city. Okay, doesn't the Bible call you a city? The gates are right here. She cries out at your the gates of your ears, the gates of your eyes, the gates of your mouth. What Dwight was sharing, your mouth is important. Your words are life or death. She cries out by the gates. Filter things through the Holy Spirit. Filter things through the Word of God. And let those things dictate your decisions, and you'll end up in the right place. Amen? Now, does the Bible say, oh, go to such and such a street and do that? Well, that happened to Ananias. He said, go to Straight Street, and you'll see this guy named Saul of Tarsus. And he says, whoa, I heard stuff about this guy. Holy Spirit says, go, because he's a vessel of mine. And he went, laid hands on him, received the Holy Spirit, healed the blindness, and then he rose and got baptized. God says he's praying. Does God tell other people that you're praying? Good stuff. She cries out at the gates. Here's, what did it say in Romans 8:14? Let's go back there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what?
Sons.
Now, that doesn't mean that you're not saved if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. The word sons means a mature believer. A child of God is somebody who receives Jesus. But as many as are led by, they are the sons, the mature sons of God that he can count on to give them the right message to deliver to people. See, if you're led by money, you can't be led by the Holy Spirit, can you? If you're led by needs, you have a need, bring it to the Lord. See what the Lord says to you. Let's see where that measures up on the priority list of your life. Don't be led by needs. We may need something here, but that doesn't mean to do it now. Get God's direction. If you're led by statistics, demographics, you know, we didn't get led by demographics when we opened up a church here in Carpentersville. We shouldn't be led by demographics when you open up a business. Just do it where God said, where God tells you to do it. He'll give you the vision in your heart where to do that, where to have your wedding, where to do, you know, so forth. Don't be led by statistics or demographics, socioeconomic data. Don't be led by that. If you're led by statistics, you're not being led of the Lord. If you're led by what people are saying, you know, people will say things one day and turn around and say the exact opposite the next day. And then they'll say, I told you so. If you're being led by what people are saying, you're not being led. If you're led by current trends, what's popular? Oh, this will work because everybody's No. You can't do that and be led by the Spirit. If you're led by desires, we all have desires. And Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them and you shall have them. But bring those desires to the Lord and say, Lord, I have this desire. You know, talk to it. The fact that you don't talk to him signals something that's in you that you want to take over. And when you do that, you're leading into yourself into deception. You're deceiving your own heart. Desires. Don't be led by pressures. Pressures are real. The devil uses them. Don't be led by pressures. God doesn't pressure anybody. He gives them opportunity. Government tries to engineer outcome over there on the left. They tried to engineer outcome with war on poverty. Sounded good on paper, but it created an absolute fatherless generation through their welfare systems. It destroyed cities. That's the aftermath of welfare. And it's white slavery, basically. It's what it is. Yeah. Pressures. Don't be led by loneliness. Did you know that before Eve was, God took Eve from that, before that, he was alone. But he wasn't lonely. The Bible says in Colossians 2:10, I believe it is that you are complete in him. You are complete in Christ. You don't have to be. The devil may say, you know what? You're lonely. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to handle that? What are you going to do about it? You're lonely. No, I'm complete in Christ. Does he need anything? No, I'm complete in me. He is in me. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul didn't get married because, I mean, she'd slow him down. Basically is what he said. But some of us guys, we need that wife.
Amen.
You know, I didn't know that I didn't know how to dress until I got married. I'm quoting that from somebody. He was a comedian. Praise God. Oh, praise God. You know, I didn't know that I wasn't hungry until I got married. You can't be led by experiences or past experience. You can't be led by media. You can't be led by mob rule. You can't be led by rumors or suspicions. You know, people say, I have the gift of discernment. There is no gift of discernment. Not in the Bible. There is the gift of discerning of spirits, but not gift of discernment. No, you have the gift of suspicion. You have the gift of, No, you gotta come off of that pedestal you put yourself on. And don't judge. You can't be led by rumors or suspicions. You can't be led by cost or price. How many of you know that the least expensive one is not always the least expensive one?
Amen.
Because it'll wear out and break. Do you see all the ways that you can be deceived? All the things in this world that come at you day and night, night and day. Oh, but day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Let your prayers rise to God. Come out of the mess that this world is in and know that your Father has a better plan for you.
Yes.
And you won't be deceived.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
Did God help you today?
Yes.
Did this Holy Spirit give you something a little more than you had when you came in here today?
Yes.
You know, we could have ended right at prayer time there, worship and prayer time, and a lot of us would have gotten more than we get from that snack and the cracker and juice that they give you, and simsalabim. But, you know, hey, if that's their thing, that's their thing. But God has so much richer things for us. I don't mean to make fun of that, because God will meet you where you're at.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I've got so much more to go, but we're gonna call it. We're going to put on pause right here. How's that sound? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do, and it will prosper in its purpose. Everybody say this,
God's word
accomplished something in me today. It lit me up. It opened my eyes. It gave me wisdom. I understand that the truth will make me free. Not my desires, not what people say, no other source will make me free, but his truth will make me free. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you. We dedicate the rest of this week to you. We know that you'll show up when we need you. We know that you'll be there with a word of wisdom when we need you. I'm going to pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with me. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I'm talking about taking him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity now. Say this, repeat this prayer. Heavenly Father,
I believe
that Jesus Christ died for my sins.
I believe
that you raised him from the dead.
I declare
that he is my Lord. And from this moment forward, I will live for him. I'll be open to his leading. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We receive your blessing. You are dismissed. If you receive the Lord just there, I want you to come up and tell me about it after service. The rest of you are dismissed.